Welcome to Becoming Whole, a weekly show designed for men, women, and families seeking to draw nearer to Jesus as they navigate topics like sexual integrity, relational healing, spiritual health, and so much more. If you long for more of Jesus in these sensitive and important areas of life, join us on the journey towards becoming whole.
So I've had this experience in the work that I do, and Kit, I want to know if you've had this experience too, but where I've found myself as I'm walking with somebody for a long period of time, they're wrestling with unwanted sexual behavior. At some point in our work together, we get kind of almost into the field of job coaching or like a career path issue, like bigger questions of like life mission. And I feel, and I've been frustrated with that. Not that it's come up, but just kind of like, you know, I'm not trained in that. I've never even read, you know, what color is your parachute. I don't know those kinds of things. But I think it's only today, as we were talking offline a little bit, that I'm like, oh, this is why this comes up. Like, what's the connection between unwanted sexual behaviors and conversations about our jobs and life path? Can you experience that?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I think eventually it comes up because we're searching. We're searching. When we're struggling with sin, we're searching for something. And we're searching for some foundation, some meaning, some, you know, and vocational kinds of things are in our culture, they're a big part of it. And so, well, maybe if I figure out what I should do for my job and for my vocation, then that'll fix me. You know, that'll give me what I need. I think that happens a lot. They are tied. There is a relationship there.
Yeah. And underneath that, and this is what we're going to talk about today, underneath that, in Jay Stringer's wonderful book, Unwanted, he describes six core experiences of unwanted sexual behavior that are all tied together. But one of those six is futility or a sense of purposelessness. Mm-hmm. And his research actually shows that there's a correlation between people who feel a sense of futility or purposelessness in their life and unwanted sexual behavior. So if you are struggling with unwanted sexual behavior, or if somebody in your life is, listen in, because we're going to talk about like what role this might play, how this is an important piece.
So Josh, having said that, how do you respond to that? What comes up for you in your life when you think about that?
When I think about the connection between unwanted sexual behavior and purposelessness?
Yeah.
Well, let me say this. The further I dig into this, the more I recognize that there is something that it's kind of built into us to be pursuing meaning and fruitfulness in our lives. Like, I don't think that without completely shutting ourselves down, like we are always going to be looking for fruitfulness.
Yeah.
And fruitfulness is attached to our, as human beings, human fruitfulness is attached to our sexuality. I mean, we are designed biologically to be fruitful. But I think that's just one outward expression, a physical expression of what's in our souls. We desire to be fruitful. And you can see that back in Genesis 1 and 2, when God creates the first man and first woman, bears them to be fruitful and multiply the human race, but also to go into all the earth and subdue it, put them in the garden and, you know, cultivate it. There's something in us that wants fruitfulness in our lives.
Yeah.
And when we're struggling with that, when we're discouraged in that area, we're feeling like we're not receiving that, our bodies, especially if we start with the area of sexuality, we're going to go sideways to like, well, I'm longing for fruitfulness. And so we'll act out sexually in something unconsciously looking to be fruitful. Does that sound too weird?
I mean, I do love the idea. And I think it's really important that we kind of talk about it. Like, what are some of these foundational things that we all share that can be good and true and that can also go sideways? And so, okay, so let's acknowledge that there's something in our body, something in our spirit, something that God created from the very beginning, that you will have some sense of unique purpose, some sense of unique ability to be fruitful. Doesn't always going to be this big thing, you know, could be lots of little small things, but it's still intrinsic in us. And so how is that a foundational part of who we are? And how does that then relate to these other parts of our lives where we might get lost along the way? And how do they relate and how do they help each other?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's come back. Let's tack it down to the earth here a little bit, make it a little bit more visible.
Okay.
As you're walking with women wrestling with unwanted sexual behaviors, where is the tie-in? What are some examples of how that looks like a where the lack of purpose, a lack of mission, a lack of whatever you kind of describe that has kind of launches them or triggers them towards whatever their unwanted sexual behavior is?
Yeah, I have really seen this in a number of different ways with clients that I've worked with. And there is this deep desire in all of us, of course, to figure life out, which we forget that it would be easier, even though it doesn't feel easier, to really ask God to figure it out for us instead of trying to figure it out ourselves. But there's this deep desire to figure out, who am I? What am I to do? And that's not an easy question to get answered. And so when the answers don't come, when we feel like we failed, when we don't feel like we have a sense of who we are or what we're to do, a sense of purpose, we're floundering. Sometimes sexual temptation comes in, whether it's, you know, hooking up or pornography, and we mistake it for a way to get a sense of purpose or comfort us because we can't find one. And so those are, I see that a lot play out in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
What about you? What have you seen, experienced? No,
I resonate with what you just shared. I think about, like, to me, I think for so many men, and I know my experience was this when I was wrestling with pornography, there's a sense in pornography, even though it's false, that there's another person looking at me or engaging with me in some way that is really proclaiming immense value and and potency. You know, there's a power in that's a kind of illusory in pornography that suggests like you are making a difference. You are moving me. There's there's life, there is passion, there's something surging through me because of you. And even though it's fake, I think that's some of the comfort, some of the draw of pornography in men's lives. And it was in my life, I think, in times where I feel like, you know, I just had a really crappy day at work. I looked like an idiot in front of my boss, or you know, I just played in the softball game and I dropped the ball and I lost the game for my team, and I feel like a loser. So that part of me that feels that futility or that meaninglessness or a sense of not being able to have power, to have influence in life in the way that I want, then gets funneled towards this illusion, the sense of that in pornography. Does that make sense?
That word power is a key one. And I think you really have your finger on the pulse of something here, because I feel like we all can feel very powerless in life. And I can think about several people, women that I've walked with and talked with that have felt that for whatever reason, they have felt a real lack of power. And that going to pornography, maybe even the type of pornography that they choose, can create this sense of having power, even though ultimately it doesn't, but in the moment it can. Or a sexual hookup can do the same thing. And so,
say more about that specific type of pornography. What do you mean by that?
Well, choosing a pornography that allows them to feel like they're in control. They have power.
Yeah.
And so a certain kind of fantasy or a certain kind of pornography where that feeds that lack that they sense in themselves.
Yeah. So important. And so important. It's one of those, you're putting your finger also on just how important it is to not just vilify our desires and the things that we're drawn to and kind of just be ashamed, like, but to really look into like,
what is that?
What's happening in there? What am I experiencing there? What is my fantasy pointing me to? The control, power, fruitfulness, or, you know, like for me, what I described is that sense of I'm, there's something happening in another person because of me. There's a difference of, I mean, there's just something really powerful in all of that. I think that's important to look at with gentleness and curiosity rather than condemnation.
And for me, even as a young child, I think I sensed that there was something about me that a purpose or a desire I had was to bring love, to be loving. And I had a real, I think, a neglect of receiving that. And so what I was looking for, not so much power, but I was looking for love to give me purpose, to give me a sense of importance and meaning. And so for me, acting out had to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so let's shift gears a little bit and talk a bit about, what do we do with this? If there's somebody listening, yeah. They're saying, okay, yeah, pornography or acting with other people or this emotional affair I was in, I can see there's a connection there. There's something that I was looking for, to reckon with my own sense of futility in life, my sense of meaninglessness or purposelessness, lack of fruitfulness, lack of power. Now what do we do? What do we do with that? What would you say to somebody who's asking that question, Kit?
I would be careful not to trivialize my answer and to try to say, this is a really big question. These are really big questions and there are no easy answers here. And so when I say, clearly what we're looking for is something that only God can give us, I don't say that as a trivial answer. I say that as a very deep invitation. What is it that we're looking for? This understanding of who we are, who we were created to be, this true self, this uniqueness that God has given to us, rather than look to other people and other things who really can't tell us how do we go to the source and how do we say, what I really want to know and what I really want to discover, only you can tell me, God. Now, you might use people, you do, or other things, but how do I start with the main source and begin to ask you about that God?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? What comes to your mind when you think about, well, what do we do then when we're in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, I three things come to mind. You put your finger on two of them. One is just underneath this, there is a question of worth. Mm-hmm. And I think that connects to that inbuilt by God, that part of God's design that we want to be fruitful. We want our lives to actually bear fruit on the earth and be good. And I think a lot of times we confuse, if I'm attractive, that's kind of a counterfeit version of good. What I mean by like a piece of fruit is a good fruit when it's ripe and tastes right and it's healthy. So we want to know where we have worth. And that starts with that sense of belovedness, not because of what we do, but just in our being, there is something that we have value just by the fact that we exist. And that leads us then to a place of beginning to explore, as you were describing, who am I uniquely? Because I'm not being a human being or being a man or being a woman isn't just about being one of among many and just kind of a replaceable part, but it's about being a unique individual with unique fingerprint in the universe.
Yeah.
And so what is that? And that connects to calling, to mission. I mean, we're not just designed just to sit around and be blobs. We are designed to work the earth, to work and to see good things happening. So those are things going to mind. And that leads me to just the reality of living in a fallen world. We can desire these things. We can go after them and we should go after what our God-given calling is, what we're wired for. Let me just pause there for a second, because Kit, what does it do for somebody who's wrestled with unwanted sexual behavior to really begin to experience meaning in who they are and what they do, a sense of purposefulness, a sense of fruitfulness?
And I think when we talk about this idea of being beloved, it's so beautiful and so right. And it can feel so elusive, because how do you embrace a sense of belovedness? But as you begin to experience that with God, it begins to fill a place in you that you don't even know is there. So we're looking to fill all these kind of false self ego things. That's what we're all about. Like, well, if I can make this feel good and this feel good, but there's a deeper thing in us, that when we, do get in touch with some of those sacred moments with God, where he says, this is who you are.
Yeah.
And it can be a little small thing. It doesn't have to be. In fact, it often isn't any kind of big accomplishment. It puts this little thing that says in that moment, this is the God telling you, this is who you are. And this is how I created you. And then that fills this part of us that begins to grow if we allow it to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think right in there is the challenge of we live in a culture that might hear some of what we're saying about the importance of being fruitful and having meaning and mission, and go directly to that. There's a kind of, we flip it upside down. We're like, that's where I get my identity. That's where I get my worth.
Yeah.
And what I think part of what we want to say is it's not an either or. There is a tension between those two. We don't just sit and wait and be until God lets us know of our value, and then we can get up and go. And
right.
There is it's almost like one foot and then the other.
Yes.
I think of Peter, you know, who he's a fisherman. He does okay, at least has a couple bad nights. He's not catching anything. And Jesus is like, you know, cast the net on the side of the boat, and he does, and miraculous catch of fish. And Peter's just like, whatever guilt he's carrying for whatever that was about, he just falls on his face. And he's like, you shouldn't be with me. I'm a sinful guy.
Yeah.
And Jesus's response is, I'm going to make you a bigger fisher. I'm going to take this small story you're living and turn it into this big story.
Yeah.
And so there's this, I mean, what an affirmation of value and worth that Jesus sees in him.
Yeah.
And it is in fact connected to something about his vocation that's probably even very different than he imagined when he heard those words from Jesus.
Which is such an important point. Our expectations of what it's going to look like can really trip us up, because often I would, you know, you and I were talking before we started to record, and my life does not look like I thought it would. God isn't doing necessarily what I thought God would do in my life. Like, so to be open and not have so many expectations that you miss what he's doing, because it can look very different. It might be smaller or bigger. It might be blue and not yellow. You know, in other words, it's very difficult to let go of our, of what we think our purpose should be, of what we think our identity should be. But to trust that God actually knows the best and he actually will show us if we let go of it is such an important part of this whole idea of embracing and understanding these deeper places of who we are and what God wants us to do.
Yeah. So we're coming as we kind of begin to land this conversation. I think some of what I hope you're hearing as you're listening is certainly the importance of meaning and purpose in your life, not as a way to gain worth, but because you are someone of worth. And pornography or any unwanted sexual behavior is going to say, in essence, is saying to you, you don't have value. And so the best you're going to get is this cul-de-sac, pull over into the ditch here and get a little pleasure and get the, you know, the vicarious experience through pornography. I mean, heck, it could be media or gaming or sports or adrenaline or, you know, you name it. There are all sorts of counterfeits of this, rather than actually living a really meaningful life. And I think what the Father's saying is, no, you have inestimable, your worth is infinite to me. I mean, I value you so much. And as a beloved son or as a beloved daughter, you actually are free to take risks, to experience, to try, to fall, to get back up.
Yeah.
Because I want your life to have meaning, and I've created you for meaning. And that may mean some big grand calling.
Yeah.
It also may mean something smaller, I think. And some of the people in history that have made such significant differences, they weren't seeking some giant thing. They were just doing the next thing that God was calling them to. Brother Lawrence probably did not dream of the day that he could wash dishes in the kitchen for the rest of the monks, but he did that with God and trusted that God had meaning and purpose for him in it. And it transformed his life. It transformed many lives, including a lot of ours who have learned from him.
And Henry Nouwen, you know, went from teacher, lecturer, author to working at the community, you know, which was working with adults with, you know, some learning and some disabilities. And he found such life there as he served and shared life in that way. And so there's not this golden path. And the other thing, Josh, that you touched on before too, that I'd love for you to talk about is this idea of the now and the not yet. in all of this.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we have to face the reality that as we face the reality that a sense of purposelessness or futility is fueling unwanted sexual behavior in our lives. And so part of our recovery, part of becoming whole, is taking seriously your own story when it comes to purpose, your own story when it comes to, you know, what keeps me from going for it, what keeps me from hoping for something more meaningful, what keeps me in this job or keeps me from trying this or trying that. And at the same time, we're not trying to prescribe here, you know, that there is fame and riches and glory and worldwide ministry for every single person. There's simply not. So many of the most beloved and meaningful saints through the history of the church are people that we've never heard of. And so there is a now and not yet there that we have to trust that as we follow God and seek him for purpose, that there will be an experience with him and things that we're sowing into the kingdom that others may not see, but that God sees. And that, the value of that, at the end of the day, gain the whole world and lose my soul. I mean, I think many of us have experienced that. And, you know, you think that more ministry or more money or more whatever is going to satisfy you. And it does not. Like, that's not what we're after. That's not the purpose we're after. So,
and also, you know, while you were talking, I thought about, it is interesting, these misunderstandings that we live under, you know, the idea that, well, if I find fame and fortune and, or if I have this big mouthpiece in the world, then that's going to be, it's going to be all glory. Well, Martin Luther King, oh my gosh. I mean, this man was such an incredible, powerful, force in the world. He came and did so many things, you know, in the name of God. And his life was full of a lot of tragedy.
Yeah.
So we can't mix this stuff up. We can't, you know, the now and the not yet. And also, you know, that this, you know, we might think that there are people who live these grand, full, rich lives that are near perfection. And it's just not true.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a wrestling here. This is part of the journey.
Yeah.
We're not trying to just map out like, you know, get up, find the best job and you'll be fine. Not true.
But one step at a time, try to trust God to lead you. Try to say, you know what? I really want to be willing. Help me to get up and to let you pick me up and lead me forward. And let's keep trying. And when I fall, Lord, give me the humility and your strength to get up and keep moving, knowing that if I do that, you will unfold something. It may not be anything like I imagined, but it will be good. It might be really hard too.
So one practical for people listening would be if you're resonating with this, and it may very well be worth some deep and hard work towards something like a big change in your life if you've been stuck. But you can also simply begin with today. What's a way that I can live purposefully today?
Yeah.
And I'd actually invite you to think very carefully. Inject into that, include in that conversation or that deliberation, the word risk and the word faith. Faith and risk are deeply tied. What might God invite you into today that's just a little bit more risky? Yeah. It might be as simple as, you know, calling a friend that you miss, and as uncomfortable as it is and unusual as it might be in that relationship, to say, hey, I just wanted to see if we could spend some time because I miss you. Might be writing a letter. It might be asking God, Lord, you know, show me. I'm going to the store. Would you show me? Is there anybody on my way to the store or at the store that you want me to minister to, and in what way?
I love that.
I'm open.
And I've mentioned this before, but I do feel like this is something that keeps me grounded in all of this, is that I try to roll out of bed in the morning onto my knees first thing and say, Lord, I give you this day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I say it more with more genuineness than others. Sometimes I'm like, right. I give you this day. But, and it's always a little bit of a different language, but to the extent that I can say, like, God, show me, you know, help me see you, help me follow you, let me give you this day, let me live it the way you want me to. There's just a grounding about that, that's helpful to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me close us in prayer. And I want to open the prayer with these words from Jay Stringer's book. He says, if you want to fight, don't fight to eliminate desire, fight to discover meaning. Jesus, thank you so much that you invited us into a grand story. The earth is full and wide, and there's so many places we might go. And Lord, your mission field is ripe for harvest, and it is broad. Lord, there's so many different kinds of people. And Lord, you've made us uniquely with a unique fingerprint, unique desires for a unique relationship and unique adventure with you. And so just this day, Lord, we say, we give you this day. Would you lead us into living purposefully rather than futility in futility today? Lord, lead us away from temptation. Deliver us from the evil one's schemes who wants to keep us stuck in unwanted sexual behavior. Lord, rather lead us to a life that is lived like a good story. In your name we pray it, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Becoming Whole. Becoming Whole is an audio ministry of regenerationministries.org. If you would like more information on Becoming Whole, Regeneration Ministries hosts a variety of articles, podcasts, programs, and events to support you on your journey. Until next time, God bless.